Welcome to Word and Sacrament, the sermon podcast of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Joplin, Missouri. I'm Jason Glaske, Director of Christian Education. Each week, you'll hear Pastor Christopher Ramstead preach from the Word of God, grounded in Scripture, centered on Christ, and shaped by the Lutheran confessional tradition.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Blessed Mother's Day to all of our mothers out there. We are so thankful for the gift of our mothers, especially those that shared their faith with us at a young age. We've been talking about the abundant life of a Christian, that we are vocationally blessed. And maybe that fits really easily on this Mother's Day, this gift from God worthy of celebration on a day like today. And we're going to keep building off of this idea, vocationally blessed, but on the other side, it's not easy to live out our vocations in our world today. How do you walk that fine line between being so incredibly blessed and at times so incredibly stressed? Maybe you feel that way this morning, and if you do, you're not alone. Peter helps us out today. 1 Peter chapter 3 is going to be the focus of our message today. Peter writes to Christian exiles, scattered Christians that are now outside of the borders of Israel. In a lot of ways, we look and we see Christians scattered as Jesus has commanded them, going to the ends of the earth. But really, the Jews have been scattered since Babylon came in, scattering the Jews across the face of the earth beyond the borders of Israel and the Promised Land. But all is not lost. In fact, in a lot of ways, God is gathering his people together. We're going to see this come to fulfillment on Pentecost Sunday in just a couple weeks. The Spirit, the helper that Jesus promises in John chapter 14 has come. Vocationally, we look at our lives and all of the callings that we have, and we say we've been sent out with the name of Jesus into this world. Vocationally sent out, not just confessing Christ, as we've done this morning. It's not just a head knowledge of our Lord, but it's a heart thing. This is lived out in our life. There's a big difference there, living out our life in Christ. Peter will put it this way. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. Be zealous for what is good. What does that look like? Can you picture people in your life that are zealous for the good things, especially when it comes to their faith? Maybe we say they are the people that are just shining forth this picture of Jesus into our life. We can look at scriptural examples. We had Stephen last week, and remember what scripture said about him? His face shone like an angel. They could see it. Maybe we think of the man that was listed right after him in the calling of those seven, Philip. Philip would have that great story in the book of Acts where he meets that Ethiopian eunuch out on the road. He's wrestling over God's word, and Philip has just the right doorway to enter in and tell him about Christ Jesus crucified and risen. Maybe we think about the Apostle Paul, zealous to go out and share the word of God with Gentiles. Or maybe we look at the Apostle Peter himself. He had his Jewish ministry, eager to talk to the Jews about Jesus for them. As Peter looked out, he saw a church that was living in this zealous way, shining the light of Jesus, and yet in the same way he looked out and he saw some that weren't living this way. What would the opposite of zealous be? Well, maybe apathetic, indifference, half-hearted Christians, or maybe my favorite one comes to us from Revelation chapter 3, lukewarm. Not hot, not cold, just kind of in the middle. If you remember, God says, I'm going to spit you out. Yeah, lukewarm. Peter saw this. This is how sometimes Christians were living, especially when life got tough, especially when there were things that were difficult to overcome, especially in those times where their faith was challenged or opposed. And what did Peter say? Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. Dear friends, it can be hard to live when our faith is challenged. In fact, in our world today, maybe people will tell us, or the voices we hear just say, just keep it to yourself. Right? You just have your faith and just keep quiet about it. And we won't have any problems. But there's a problem to living that way. That's not the way Jesus has taught us. In fact, Peter would say it this way. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. And maybe we right off the bat we go, oh, no problem, Pastor. I can talk about Jesus, right? I can talk about Jesus, but Peter's not done yet. Do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience. Well, Pastor, that makes it a lot harder, doesn't it? Especially when we face hostility in this world. Especially when we live in a culture that is so hell-bent on having truth take the back seat and rather being so focused upon being right or self-justified in this world. Peter says, for it's better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. In fact, this becomes a focus of Peter inside this letter, this idea of suffering. Good suffering is better than bad suffering, Peter says. And we go, well, yeah, but nobody likes to suffer. In fact, we'd be foolish to chase after such a thing. But Peter reminds us in the church, there are going to be times of suffering for the name of Jesus. Like Peter gives one specific example inside this letter, and maybe you caught it inside here. Peter points this out, so when you are slandered, notice it's not an if, this is not a might be, when you are slandered, it's going to happen, and it's going to happen because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 5, verse 41, if you remember, the apostles come forth from the Pharisees and the Sadducees and said they suffered dishonor for the name of Jesus. And if you read it in the full context, it said they came away joyful. They were joyful that they suffered dishonor for the name of Jesus. We saw this with Stephen. We saw his name slandered, his reputation ruined last week in the book of Acts. What did they say about Stephen? He blasphemes God. He blasphemes those. He's changing the law, if you will. They slandered the apostles. In fact, we got an example of that in the book of Acts today. What did they say about Paul? What does this babbler have to say? And that's one of the tamer ones, isn't it? About what people had to say about Christians. They slandered Jesus. Jesus comes with healing in his hands. And what do they say about him? He casts out demons with the help of demons. In fact, John chapter 10, they tell him to his face, Jesus, we think you have a demon. They call him insane. And they say, why should we listen to you? We shouldn't be surprised. When people slander our good name for the sake of Jesus and for the sake of the gospel. And this attitude, it comes from the heart. Peter tells us exactly what's going on here. Those who revile your good behavior. Isaiah would say it this way in chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Sometimes in our world, we need to spot this and point it out, call it out. Because our world loves bad behavior. This is the reason that magazines and tabloids sell. This is the reason that clickbait works so easily on your computer. This is the reason that latest celebrity gossip spreads so quickly. Because sometimes we laugh at this behavior. We're entertained by it. Maybe in a lot of ways we've even taught ourselves that it's okay to behave this way. Our service of prayer and preaching that we get to use today, I know it's not everybody's favorite, and it's a little different getting used to some of those songs inside there, but it does something really great. It gets a focus on the Ten Commandments. Sometimes we get to hear all 10 of them, or sometimes we substitute in one specific one, so maybe it's no surprise the commandment that your pastor picked this week, the Eighth Commandments, especially when it comes to what Peter says here. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And like all of the Ten Commandments, it's really easy for us to dismiss this one, right? And we go, oh, well, I never do that, right? I never get false testimony. And we get this picture of like a court case going on. Oh, I've never done that, right? I've got bad news for you. We break this commandment often. That's the reason we get to hear its meaning today. We should fear and love God so we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation. but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest way. This is about our neighbor's reputation. As Lutherans, we love deep theology, but we also love explaining things in kind of the simplest, kindest of ways too, right? Oh, we talk about the law and it shows us our sin. It's that mirror that Stephen put up to the Pharisees last week, that they were doing exactly the thing that they charged him that he was doing. Today, that mirror is placed up in front of us and we go, yes, Lord, we haven't always kept this commandment. We haven't always cared for our neighbor's reputation. We haven't always worried about what people think about our neighbor. Paul puts us on the other side of this, though. When you are slandered, and in fact, in a lot of ways, when we hear this text, it feels like we're almost given permission, doesn't it? If somebody wants to wreck my reputation, if someone says something bad about my good name, then I have the right to defend it, right? That maybe I even attack back. I can go scorched earth on that person, really rake their name through the mud. But that's not how Peter directs us, and that's not how our Lord talks to us. Rather, we hear, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy. Always being prepared to make an offense to anyone who asks you for the reason of hope that's in you, yet do it with that gentleness, with that respect, with that good conscience. Peter tells you, always be ready to have a defense of your faith. Always be ready to share the name of Jesus with those around you. In fact, it's right here in this chapter of 1 Peter, we get the word apologetics, which leads to my favorite pastor joke. It always happens in confirmation class. Someone will say, Pastor, what do you mean by apologetics? And I'll say, I'm so sorry. But that's not the apology we're talking about here. It means defense. In fact, in the English, it means defense, but in the Greek, you get two words. Apo means from, and logos means word. From words, we share about Jesus. Our defense of our faith. You might say that God calls us with the gift of your tongue, with the gift of your words, to share the hope that we have with your neighbor. It's not always easy. It's not always easy, but we're called to do it, to speak Christ to the nation, to speak the gospel to the ends of the earth as Jesus has called us to do. So maybe this morning we come to the simple question, what words, Pastor? Using what words? I think we make this more complex than it needs to be. Sometimes the simplest answer is the best answer. Go straight to the source. Give them the gospel. Give them the gospel. Tell them the story of Jesus, what he has done for you and for me. Go to our confessions. There's a reason we speak the creed each and every week together here in worship, that we talk about what Jesus has done for us. Go to our rich hymnody. Oh, there's so many great hymns that we love to sing as Lutherans, and they have a way of planting those seeds inside our heart and inside our mind. Always have a defense from words that you can speak Christ to those around you. Yes, even those that slander your good name. But Peter's not done yet. Peter's not done yet. In fact, he comes with a beautiful reminder of what you have. He says, baptism now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, Mr. Glaske unpacked this so beautifully for us in our kids' talk this morning. What a wonderful illustration, wonderful picture. I love that umbrella, by the way. It's fantastic. And dear friends, we're not always going to have the right words to say. Sometimes we might say the wrong thing. Maybe sometimes we find ourselves kicking ourselves that we didn't say something when we ought to have said something. Instead, we remain silent. Rather, dear friends, hear the good news spoken to you today. Hear what was spoken over you in your baptism, in this precious sacrament, that you are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that you are united with him. As Peter tells us, for Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he would bring us to God. What did Jesus say in the gospel? I'm not going to leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. What did we just sing in that hymn? God's own child, I gladly say it. I am baptized into Christ. That's the good news that we have. Yes, his people profoundly blessed and sometimes profoundly stressed.
Yet Jesus reminds you of something so beautiful this morning. You are baptized in his powerful name. Dear friends, we're not called to speak ill of our neighbor or to hurt his reputation, but rather to build him up, to speak life to him. In the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. And it's in his name we can all say, amen.
That was Pastor Christopher Ramstead preaching at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. We're a congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, serving Joplin since 1897. Find us at emmanueljoplin.com or join us Sunday mornings if you're in the area. God's peace to you.